This is the audio development journal number pause. Who knows, right? Today is Tuesday. Tomorrow is Juan Day or Juan's Day. We had just recorded DEFCON 1 on Sunday, and haven't gotten that posted yet, but I thought I'd get in a few ADJs and then get all these up, hopefully within the next day or two. So again, highlighting, you can record something and publish it using ID Pop on your historical record on the Truth Social Network, two separate times, right? Two differences. Should be obvious, but to some it's not, apparently. So this one's going to be called There Is No Before, i.e. the problem with replies, right? Or there was no before. Something like that. And it's going to be about valid replies as opposed to valid references and CBR, MRs, and much more. We'll see how much we can cover, right? It's a beautiful day. Feeling great. Feel like I could record forever, so there's a lot to cover. Maybe I'll cover more than I think. But we're going to start with that. In terms of DEFCON 1, right, and the legal stuff, because we did touch a bit on the legal stuff, I think we're basically finishing up with that topic because there's not much more to say about it. We'll see how the cookie crumbles. You know, it all comes down to, essentially, they are saying that everyone who uses Bitcoin, right, because actually using Bitcoin means doing transactions, you know, using private keys. It's not having your Bitcoin on an exchange. And so they're essentially, by extension, saying that anyone who uses Bitcoin, more or less, is open to being investigated, right? Because the vast majority of coins have some form of taint, and if they don't, they will, right? And so, you know, this completely ignores the reality of how Bitcoin functions, right? It is fungible, and it is a bearer instrument like cash. I mean, people can get into, you know, well, is it fungible, really, when you can track the UTXOs? Well, there's distinctions about dollar bills that are unique to each one of them. Yet, from a legal standpoint, we understand and recognize, as we have with Bitcoin, so it's going to take a lot to change that, that you are not responsible for which Bitcoin you receive, just like you are not responsible for which exact dollar bills you receive or liable for something someone may or may not have done in the hops or chain of you know, events that led that dollar bill, $100 bill, whatever it is, or Bitcoin to get to you. Of course, if you are directly involved in doing something illegal, that's a different story, right? Which takes its own detective work and so forth to determine. So, you know, this ridiculous clown show joke of a document basically pretends that we're not living in the reality we have been living in. So, it's like Earth to Mekus, Bitcoin is a bear asset. And so, you know, sorry if certain people's careers are ruined at a bare minimum, right? You know, it's like ignorance of Bitcoin and the way Bitcoin works is not an excuse, my friends. Now, the reason I'm in such a good mood today is not only the weather, but just having seen that my boy Julian Assange is going to be getting married. So what could be a greater thing, right? Because we all owe all of our freedom to Julian Assange and those like him. So, you know, if we can accomplish 1/1000th and, you know, if we have to suffer in the process, how lucky are we that we didn't have to be first? And he is like my man in the Shawshank Redemption, Andy Dufresne, right? Andy Dufresne had to go through the tunnel of shit, and Andy Dufresne came out the other side. So to me, Juan's day is gonna be when we free Clash Tag, free Julian, and it's gonna happen. So it is a good day, and I'm feeling very grateful today. And one day, maybe there'll be the real wedding, right? And so really, Julian is Andy Dufresne, except Julian volunteered to be Andy Dufresne, so it's a bit different. And by sacrificing himself, he set the example for others to follow, just as others did and have, and now are doing today. And you're starting to see that it's spreading like wildfire, and others are saying, well, I'll be next. And eventually we're all next, and there's no one to fight. So every level down the line, it gets harder for them to fight, and the risks become lower and lower. So it's a great day. Which reminds me of a certain use case and idea I've thought of before, but apparently the time is now to speak about, at least in short, of a Truth Social network like account or cloud chain, right? Or, you know, some route which is going to be dedicated towards being a WikiLeaks of the future. Or maybe it'll be WikiLeaks itself. Or maybe it'll be a bunch of them, right? How important is that? And so you see how many insanely huge things are going to come from making history. I mean, like, wouldn't it be crazy, though, if there was already some type of, like, we know about WikiLeaks and how that changed the world, but imagine that over the past few decades, imagine that there was actually another WikiLeaks outside of the one we knew about, and you know, with some much more even crazy stuff in it, except this WikiLeaks, or earth-shattering, right? Except this WikiLeaks was not exactly public in the sense that everyone knew about it, but anyone who wanted to and had enough talent and technical prowess to reach this other library-like database of earth-shattering WikiLeaks of the past, you know, like, would we even know about it, right? I mean, depends who we're talking about, right? And so imagine that. Can you imagine? Oh man. But anyway, you know, like, what if that existed, but everyone or the average Joe didn't have the capabilities, not just to reach it, but it sort of needed to be like that, because even if they could see all the evidence of these various crimes against humanity and so forth, they wouldn't have the ability to verify or validate what and what, you know, or to validate that it was real, right? They wouldn't have the technical understanding to know that. I should stop. I get carried away sometimes. To know when and where certain things happened and the validity of certain standards of evidence in the technical world. But I digress. So I'm sure there will be some Truth Social Network WikiLeaks in the future, okay? And maybe we've even improved on a few things that did not exist then, but we're good enough, right? Anyway, back on topic for today's audio development journal. And people, you know, I get people ask me, oh, where's the CloudChain, when CloudChain, all that. And the answer is, it's coming when it's fucking coming. So that might be 6 months from now, a year from now, or 5 years from now. But don't you worry, there is an up and running node in the metaverse. So, you know, just log into your metaverse and you can go ahead and run a node. You know, just explore. It's great. I'm actually, my girlfriend in the metaverse is, you know, Gisele Bündchen. So, if you haven't been to the metaverse, I'll see you there. Now, so the topic du jour, right? There is no before, or there was no before, really. So what do I mean by that? Well, how do I want to do this? What should be the sequence of events? As I spoke about in our time talks, right? There's a whole series of lectures you're in store for. We'll see how many we get through today, relating to a numerous amount of topics. And, you know, sort of like everything else we've been talking about, I kind of have to give you taste of it before I give you the whole picture, and you kind of need to know the whole picture before you can get taste of it. So, you know, we'll do what we can, but I'm going to sort of lay the groundwork for some of our future lectures, which are going to be around the full protocol stack, okay? And so, as we know, the cloud chain is essentially just for a clone of Bitcoin, right? Or Litecoin, right? In terms of confirmation times, the monetary supply is seems like it's set, right? And the cloud chain itself seems like it's pretty much done, as we spoke about, in terms of the fact that it's just got to be a clone of one of these coins, proof of work to be determined. And while it's just essentially going to be a clone, its role is to, or part of the reason that it can be basically that, is its role is to play a part in a larger picture. And the part it's playing is to simply provide blind attestation, right? Or you could even further describe it how we did as passive blind attestation, right? In other words, anyone can put anything in the Bitcoin blockchain today, and the Bitcoin miners don't have any idea, or in other words, the software has no idea, is not aware of it, right? And this is essentially going to provide what we've called existence proofs, which at the moment BC are using open timestamps, right? And the reason you kind of need a blockchain, right, is, sure, we spoke about it, demonstrates an intentionality in this pseudonymous base proof of publication, right? But it you need it because otherwise, how would you know that I'm not putting out two competing historical records or opposing, right? In other words, I could be saying the Lakers are going to win tomorrow night in one record, and I roast the tip of my identity blockchain, and then I could have another block in my in the background that I haven't published that says the Lakers are going to lose. So it's kind of important to have real proof of publication, right? Pseudonymous based. Obviously, people can choose to be reveal their identity, but they're still, it's, you know, it's like Bitcoin. I can say that I own an address or a key, but that is your own choice, right? But the reason this idea of proof of publication is important is what I just mentioned, the Lakers example, right? Which obviously we spoke about, there's two different things, doing things in real time and your audience in real time, and then the perspective of the audience in posterity, right? 50 years from now. And so in other words, if I do the Lakers example, it's very easy for people to see who are following me in real time. So yet that the goal includes both of those things, accomplishing both of those things, right? Now, we touched a lot in our time talks. Unfortunately, I was like, oh, I did so well, I got everything, except one slight correction I have in my notes because I listened to it after, and you know, this whole series of lectures was supposed to continue, but we took a bit of time off to work on other things, such as the speed chess of life, right? By the way, I never even fucking played chess. Did you realize that? Or would I guess you wouldn't have known that, but isn't that ironic? But what I do know is the difference between checkers and chess, right? Which is actually more important than being good at chess, if you want to be good at the chess of life, right? So as long as you know the difference, or more important than the actual moves in comparison, simple game of chess with the, you know, on the flat little board, more important than that is understanding the difference between rock, paper, scissors and checkers. You know, and checkers and chess, and, you know, chess and Go, and Go and fifth generational warfare, right? So anyway, as I listened to my time talks at the time, the next few days, what I have here is a slight correction that, or a correction, an omission at the time, which I'm going to add now. So an addendum, right? That There are two recency proofs, occurrence proofs, right, for the identity block header as well, okay? And do I want to go into that? I don't think so, because this we have so much to cover. But going to be important in practice, but not important to talk about. Now, in terms of those time talks, the other thing that is important that I will talk about briefly, I hope, is not so much something I forgot, right, to mention or may have been perceived as such, right? But rather something that in omitting gives us a nice segue to talk about something else that in the hours of recording, time did not permit me to talk about at the time, right? And so, you know, it's like the story of the young couple and the yogi, right? The young couple wants to go and see the yogi living up in the mountains and learn about this yogi master's enlightenment and, you know, just sort of study him and et cetera. And so through learning that about his existence through the apprentice or the student of the yogi, right, the student says, okay, well, you know, the only way to learn is to do. So you come and you stay with, come into the mountains, pack a bag, and, you know, come see the man himself, right? And so the young couple treks into the mountains and goes on this journey to see this mysterious, mystical being, right? And, you know, eventually reaching their destination, the student says, okay, you know, it's over that hill. You'll find a small shack where he resides in. You know, usually he'll be meditating and so forth. But it's just right over that hill. And, you know, I can't walk you through the door. You can only do that yourself, right? So being the good guy he is, he leads them to this yogi. You know, the young couple is sort of excited, nervous to see this godly figure as they were told he was or perceived to be. And so they, you know, they approach the door and, you know, everything is quiet and they say, all right, I guess, you know, let's knock on the door, see if he's home, right? See if, you know, what else can we do? So they knock on the door and they hear, what the fuck do you want, right? So they're like kind of a bit shocked, right? And they don't really know what to do. They thought the student would have informed him they were coming and, you know. And so they say, yeah, no, I'm so sorry to bother you. It's us. It's the young couple. You know, student told us, you know, we could come stay with you. And we're just very, you know, humbled by your existence and want to learn from you. And he says, what student? Get the fuck away, right? And so they're just, like, stunned. They almost leave. They're contemplating, like, is this the right guy? And then they can't find the student, right? So, you know, they're hoping the student would come back and sort of be there, you know, like, vouch for them or whatever he's got to do. But he's gone. So they're like, all right, either we leave or we kind of got to be persistent. And so they say, all right, we'll try one more time. They knock. And what happens is, he says, what, are you going to stand out there all day? Or if you're going to fucking come in, right? And so they're, you know, like, at this point, they don't know what to think. They were expecting something totally different. But they're like, all right, well, we're here. Let's go in and see what's going on. So they come in and, you know, being as nervous as they are, they kind of let the door go, and not knowing the situation, the door kind of, like, slams shut. And, of course, he scolds them. you know, don't slam the fucking door, you know, and just like sort of freaks them out, right? And so the point of the story being that they go on to stay there, and over a couple of days they learn, you know, his bark is sort of louder than his bite, and he obviously possesses these otherworldly powers, and they eventually go on to learn that they sort of like got what they paid for. It wasn't what they expected, but through spending time with this individual, they do sort of learn how to act, and from this individual, right? But the point of the story being that, so eventually as they leave, they're talking to the student and you know, thanking him and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They sort of say, like, we got to be honest, though, we're so shocked, like, he has this temper and, you know, we were expecting this, like, Buddhist monk, very silent, if anything, polite, but not very aggressive, right? So to the student, they're saying, you know, like, can you believe he snapped at us and all this, right? And so also, right, throughout these days, they find out, you know, he smokes cigarettes, he have six girlfriends, he do heroin, you know? And so they talk about all this with a student, and student says, you know, how could he snap at us, right? And so he points out to them, basically, that, you know, they totally misunderstood the situation, right? That despite the fact that they perceive him as being this, like, emotional, snappy, impulsive type of being, which they weren't expecting, students say, no, 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 you don't understand. See, that was a calculated temper. He had to snap at you to show you a certain thing, right? And they say, yes, but, you know, six girlfriends? Like, six? Not two. But he says, no, 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 you misunderstand. You see, if he didn't have these worldly type of vices, right, he would simply cease to exist. He would float away, right? So this is, you know, someone who, in order to live in the world, he has these vices and he blesses us with his presence. And so goes the story of the student and the yogi, right? So anyway, long-winded way of saying that perhaps there was a purpose in omitting certain information in our time talks, which is, I think you will find useful as I explain it to you, which is likely going to be in part number two, plane overhead. And so this useful information kind of relates to the fact that in the time talks, I was basically describing things from the vantage point of almost what you would think of in Bitcoin, right? If we're going to compare as an SPV node, right? In terms of the way you could validate things. And it was not incorporating the fact that you're likely going to be running some type of identity blockchain node, right? Which is going to validate that you are running the Truth Social protocol, right? Or the ID POP protocol, right? But there's some nuance there, and we're gonna touch on that in part two and hopefully go to the main topic, which is there is no before, okay? So I think with that, we'll see you in part two. Peace.